We have a massive stimulus program that's been passed. For the first time in history, we will have an infusion of federal block grants going out to deal with the whole question of conservation of energy. We have our police departments revving up to continue to fight crime. We have a president talking about high-speed rail for the first time in, I think, in modern history. So, but, you know, more than anything else, there's just so much going on in our cities. It's good to have a federal government that is listening to us, and we believe are partnering with us to, you know, catch up with where we should be as we compete with the other cities around the world.
One of the challenges often with is between the states and locals and the federal government is there does often seem to be a miscommunication, or at least people talking almost on parallel planes. Does that feel like it's changed in a lot of these issues, a lot of these topics?
I think it's changing. It's changing. The business sector, people that really understand the economics of the United States are recognizing that the metropolitan areas of the United States are really driving the national economy. And so, for example, the mayor of Louisville, Kentucky, his metro economic imprint takes out three counties in Indiana. And so he's working that whole region for, you know, his region. And even though he's a native of citizens of Kentucky, what he's doing is affecting the state of Indiana. That's just one small example. Baltimore is the 24th largest economic entity. I mean, Boston is of the whole world, and Indianapolis, Indiana is stronger economically than Nebraska. Now, when we say that, what does that mean? It means money. It means jobs. It means economic activity. Certainly, there are challenges in each one of those. But we believe that if America is going to be strong, the metro economies have to be looked at. The funding for energy and transportation has to be changed so that we can understand that if we're going to continue to be number one, these metro economies, around 300 of them, have to be looked at in a different way. We're starting to do that. We're starting to do it. We got a long way to go, but we're very encouraged.
And do you feel that the concerns of cities are being heard? Do you have a process? If you have a concern, do you have a way to get that into the White House so it gets recognized?
We are having some, you know, we are having to recognize that the president has put forth a number of initiatives in his stimulus plan for the first time on transit, and on in the whole MPOs and transportation of doing this. But we've got to also understand that the Congress of the United States, the House and the Senate, they're still in many ways doing it the old way. So we've got to work to determine, you know, we've got work to do in the Congress, I think, there are many, many people in Congress who get it, but we've still got work to do there. We're encouraged, recognizing that, you know, the state highway departments are still big players in the transportation system. But I think that young people, not just the age of my grandkids, who are 13, 14 years old, but they're young people that are going to want alternative travel. They're young people that are going to want, you know, in the new markets, green homes. And we recognize that we do have a way to go here. But I can recall when President Kennedy said, let's go to the moon, and we went there. And when President Obama talked about a high-speed rail system the other day, it was music. And I never thought I'd hear a president say that. And so we did it.
There are a lot of challenges just naturally built into the way the system is worked out, and I'm thinking of issues like the flu that's going around, where it cuts across really cities. Of course, are right there on the front lines of this, but it also goes up to the state and federal levels. Are there ways for cities to deal with issues like that across all of the boundaries of government?
Well, we have. We have a very special, quiet relationship with the Centers for Disease Control. I mean, in this situation, you're talking about WHO in Geneva, you're talking about Atlanta. Let me tell you something. Every morning, a mayor quietly of a large city is saying, what's Geneva saying, and what is Atlanta saying? Now, the press doesn't understand that. They think we just do potholes and we do these kinds of things. But every mayor of any kind of city has a city health officer. And there are hundreds of them, and they're talking to each other just like police chiefs talk to each other. So when this thing hit, I mean, my BlackBerry lit up, and we've been working throughout, you know, this past weekend. And as we saw AIDS come on in the 80s, it was a mayor of this nation that I think helped with C. Everett Koop, who's a Surgeon General, you know, on the whole question of the AIDS epidemic. And we have, you know, really helped out, helped us coming back a little bit. But my point is this. The main thing is communication. The main thing is to where are the stockpiles of the vaccines if you need them. Well, we went through two or three issues with the Bush administration. It was scary. I believe that this administration is on top of it. You know, we're right there where we need to be in case we need stocks. We got to make sure that we have the drugs that we need in case this thing elevates to where, you know, it is more serious. The question raised was, are we tied in? Yes, we're tied in through our city health offices, working with the county health offices, working with the state health offices. They're communicating with the Center for Disease Control and Homeland Security. We're getting bulletins every day on
this. Great. Let me ask you one last question, and it has to do with stimulus, because there's this national dialogue that they're actually doing on recovery.gov. There's all this transparency, which feds are quite concerned about, and I imagine that trickles down, that kind of transparency. They want the cities to be transparent about how they're spending this money as well. How do cities deal with that level of sort of people watching, and are there processes set up to deal with that?
This is a question that came up. It was very interesting. People forget that in America, you know, it was cities before it was states, before it's federal government. What I'm trying to tell you is there are town meetings in the colonial times. There are city council meetings going on three times, sometimes a week, twice a week, once a week. Everything that we do is transparent.